We will postpone our prayer meeting tomorrow night till next Monday night. The Lord tells us to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. So I'm not going to fear the storm, but I'm going to stand still. But, you know, a lot of us have to travel through these back roads to get here, and it's just not a safe thing to do with the wind blowing and the rain that's coming. Our lesson this evening comes from Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through chapter 14 and verse 10. And in summation of these verses, Israel was commanded to go into the land of Canaan and to possess it. This had occurred shortly after they had received the law at Mount Sinai. And so they sent 12 spies to look things over and to bring back a report. After they returned, 10 men balked at going in and convinced most of Israel to think their way. 2 men believed that Israel was more than ready and able to go in. These 2 men had a great zeal for God. And they were ready to go in, and they were ready to take the land at God's command. But we find a difference in these verses between the 2 classes of men is their zeal. How had the majority lost their zeal? After going through everything they went through and seeing the power of God, how did they waver? And this question raises also another question. What hindered them? What hindered their zeal for God? As with most of the Old Testament, we find many examples that provide us with tremendous applications for today. History seems to have a way of repeating itself. And with this in mind, let us this evening look at what went wrong. First, the children of Israel forgot that God was with them and not with the enemy. And we sometimes seem to think along these lines. If you will, look at Numbers chapter 13 and verses 28 through 33. And the Bible says here, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea in the coast of Jordan." And Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Reading these verses, the problem as I see it is that they looked at the size of the enemy and forgot the size of their God. When we focus on size and not on God, our zeal starts to melt away. So, what are we to do? Let's just say that, just for this moment, that we all gather up our things and that we would just take a small field trip just down this street. What do you think we would find? Just go up and down the street and knock on the doors. For one, I think I would see the size and the power of the denominations. when we have opposition to righteousness in the government, when our brethren are going into apostasy, when we contemplate the size of the population that we are charged to evangelize, what are we to do? The answer, my friends, is to remember the power of God. Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." A lot of times we seem to forget that the King is with us. Jesus in Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, "Lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world." And Paul in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he reminds us that Jesus said, "I will never forsake thee or leave you." What is it then that interferes with our zeal? There are some things that we just don't consider as hindrances. In the case of Israel, they had a greater fear of men than they did of God. In the first three verses in Numbers chapter 14, it says, "All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto us, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should fall prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" See, these people failed to think that what God did to Egypt, that He could also do for them. It would be astonishing to hear of all the people that men fear rather than God. Among those would be our parents, our spouses, our children, our friends, our co-workers, maybe even a particular denomination that we are trying to escape from. But we need to face it. In our human mind, these are rational fears. But God does not want us to be fearful. Jesus, He said in Luke 12 and verses 4 and 5 that we are not to fear those that can kill the body, but those that can kill the body and the soul. The only one that we are to fear, we find in Ecclesiastes 13, 12, verses 13 and 14. And that is God. If that is not enough, then we need to remind ourselves of 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 10 and 11. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." Not doing something for the Lord because we fear another human is deadly, and it will have eternal effects on our soul. But they feared men, but what else did Israel fear? What else affected their zeal? They seem to have forgotten God's past blessings. We named three of them this morning. That God did not take them by the way of the Philistines because He feared the people were not ready for battle. And the people would have been. He led them up against the Red Sea, their backs, so that they learned to put their trust in the Lord. And He led them to a dry hole so they could see God's power. Numbers 14 and verse 4 say, they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They've gone through all this and now they want to go home. The promised land is right there. They could see it just as well as they could have seen that tree at Marah. They forgot how God had remembered them while they were in bondage. They forgot how he delivered them from Egypt. They forgot how he fed them and caused them to prevail before their enemies. They forgot all these things. But is it the same with us? Have we forgotten? What is it that we've forgotten? Maybe we've taken for granted and forgotten this comfortable building that we're sitting in right now, who, by the zeal of the men who got it together and put it up for us, they wanted a place for God's people to gather, a comfortable place. Maybe we've forgotten about how available this is. We don't realize the sacrifice that some men went through in the past to make sure this was in our hands. During the Dark Ages, this was a death sentence if you had one of these in your hands. But men who were zealous made sure that we have this today. They withstood man and trusted in God. The pages of this Bible are stained with blood. The blood of those in the past. If they lost a Bible, they'd have turned heaven and earth to find it. Today, we'd just go to the store and buy another one. Maybe it's the fact that we've even heard the gospel testifies to the fact that someone had the zeal to open the Bible and share it with us. To take time out of their busy lives to open God's Word to us. Very often they sacrificed a lot to be able to do that. What about the zeal of the apostles and Jesus? How would you have reacted if you were there when Jesus gave the Great Commission? What would our words have been? Lord, you mean the whole world? Do you know how far that is? The source of all these examples is God Himself, the zeal that He had to send His Son, John 3:16. They forgot the comforts that they had. In Numbers 14 and 4, they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. You have to think to yourself, well, why would anybody want to do this? They were remembering what they had before. Look at verse 5. It says, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. You can leave out the leeks for me, but the onions and garlic sound good. When they looked over in the Jordan, they saw obstacles. Probably thought to themselves, you know, we were safer in Egypt. We don't have to fight here. They looked back on the bounty that they enjoyed in Egypt and wondered why they left. You know, sometimes we look back and we kind of wonder, why'd I leave that? We seem to forget the difficulties that come with it. They forgot the bondage that they were in. They were the ones who were crying out to God to deliver them from their bondage. They forgot the cruelty of their taskmasters. They forgot that everything that they were building wasn't for them, but for others, that they were the forced labor. They whined then, and they whined now. I guess that old axiom is true, that they are not happy unless they have something to complain about. What about us? Do we think back to our time before obeying the gospel? Do we think about the fun that we had before? Do we think about the friends we used to have fun with, or maybe even sleeping in on Sundays? How much easier was it not having any convictions at all? Just going with the flow. But do you also remember the guilt that you often carried from that so-called fun? Or do you remember the dread that often flooded your mind? Do you remember the fearful thoughts you had of the judgment or that bondage of sin? Paul reminded the Corinthians of that in 1 Corinthians 6 in verses 9 through 11, where he told them, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, "And some were such of you." Then he says, "But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and of the Spirit of our God." So they were just a bunch of wicked people too in their past. He wanted to remind them of where they were and where they are today. And we need to continually remind ourselves of the same thing so that our zeal will not fade. The children of Israel also forgot the blessings of obedience. In Numbers 14 in verses 6 through 9. Listen to what Joshua said. "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Fear them not." You would think that this would be the rallying cry that got them started, but it fell on deaf ears. In their fears, they were willing to settle for a lot less. Those who forget the blessings of obedience will quickly lose their zeal. Revelation 2:10 tells us to be faithful unto death. But how can we be faithful unto death if we take our eyes off the prize? Is our eyes on that crown of life mentioned in Revelation 2:10? When you read 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8, we see here how Paul's zeal had sustained him. When you read these verses, the one thing you do not notice is fear. There is none here. Paul battled every single day, and yet he kept the faith. And why did he do that? He wanted that crown of righteousness. Then we have to remind ourselves who will give us that crown. It's not going to be our brother or sister in Christ, but the Lord Himself. throughout Paul's Christian life, he endured all that man and nature could throw at him for the cause of Christ. And he didn't do it all by himself either. Many faithful men and women, the Lord's church, fought the same battle. The rest of the apostles gave their lives for the cause of Christ. They didn't think about turning around and going back to where they came from. They moved ahead and faced death head on. But brethren, is our zeal in doing God's will and expanding His kingdom the same, or at least in part close to that of the apostles, or of Joshua, or Caleb? We must not ever forget that God is not with the enemy, He is with us. We cannot develop more fear of men than of God. And we can never ever forget the blessings that we have received and the blessings which our obedience will bring. Where is your zeal? As children of God, it is our responsibility, if we lost it, to recoup it, to bring it back. For that, we must examine ourselves daily. We must make sure that the things that we fear never overshadow our zeal. We can fear human things. We can fear a storm. We can fear a creature. But we must never allow our fear to stand in the way of what we need to do, what is right in the sight of God. Ever. If you are not a child of God, you need to think about that for a moment. And you need to think about your future. Where will your future lie when that day comes? It may be the day the Lord returns, or it may be the day that your life ends on this earth. Where will your soul be when this body is gone? If you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity tonight to obey that gospel, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to His church. That is our prayer. That is our desire for you. That is the Lord and God's desire, that all men come to repentance, that no man perishes, that they all have everlasting life. And we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've lost some of that fervent zeal you once had. You can get it back. And it can start this very moment to work for Him. To not fear what we typically fear in man, but to hold our heads up and know that we fear God more than anything that man can ever do or say to us. If anyone has a need this evening, we want to give you an opportunity to come and to have your sins forgiven, either to be washed away, and if you're a child of God, to pray that those sins may be forgiven you, and God in His righteous promise will forgive those sins. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.